Anyway, started to say. My name is Nisha Nobatana. I'm a committee secretary for the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency. The chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency was not able to attend today's meeting, as she has attended the PAP meeting in African Parliament for the whole of this week. And therefore, in terms of the National Assembly rules, the committee is supposed to elect the chairperson to chair for the day. And I will therefore open for the nomination of the chairperson. Over to you, Honorable Press.
Thank you very much, Committee Secretary. And good morning, everyone. I'm nominating the name of Honorable Bengu, which will be the chairperson of the day. Thank you.
And then Ms. Sekola, Honorable Fana Mera.
Thank you very much. I second the proposal. Thank you.
Any further nomination? I'll therefore hand over to Honorable Bengu to chair the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Morning to all of you. As we have heard the apology of the chairperson, any apologies?
Thank you, chairperson. I've received the apology from Ms. Nomsa Machisi. She's busy in the room. She was able to attend today's meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Chairperson, mine's not on any apologies. I wanted to raise an issue of clarity before we start, if you would allow me. Chairperson, I just wanted to know in terms of, I just wanted to find out why, if I'm correct, why we're only receiving this presentation now. Because in terms of parliamentary rules or procedures, documents such as these are supposed to reach us at least 48 hours before. This is quite a thick document, and I would have wanted to go through it before coming to Parliament this morning. And this is the first time I'm seeing this. So I just wanted to get some clarity as to why these documents are late. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Fanny. It has come to our attention that the document is arrived just now. But I would like to hear more from other members what are we going to do with these documents, because these are the thick documents and we haven't been able to read them, so it would be unable to us to deliberately on them. So, but I would like any other assertion from the members. Thank you. Honorable Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to echo the sentiments expressed. We cannot do oversight on things that we haven't read, and I don't think there's any point in knowing up. I think people must take us seriously and make the necessary arrangements to have everything in place so that we can read and have the intelligent and ask intelligent questions without compromising ourselves.
Any member?
Yeah, second chairperson, maybe we should hear from them why I think the way they are, and then we take it from there. Let's give people a benefit of doubt and see what they have to say. And then I'll raise my hand.
Okay, from the department.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. May I first tell you the apologies of the Director General. He's in a meeting with the Minister at this particular stage, he's asked me to tender his apology on his behalf. The other people of the delegation are stuck in traffic. There's an accident on the N2 coming into Cape Town at this particular stage. And so they will join me as the proceedings continue. With regard to the late submission of the documentation, there are two, maybe three. We received the request to appear before the committee sometime last week. I think it was Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, the request came through. At that particular time, we were in the throes of engagement with the Auditor General on our management report, and they needed to conclude their management report. So all resources went into that in terms of the communication of audit findings that were submitted to the department. That's primarily one of the main reasons why we were unable to give our undivided attention. You'll also notice that there are two presentations submitted, because the CFO, in terms of the procurement issue with regard to gender, was only able to conclude information last night and sent through the submission to me this morning, given the interaction with the Auditor General. So our humble apologies for that, but we just did not have the resources available. And we do want to make sure that we send substantive information to committees that contains accurate and up-to-date information, and not information that has been correct if we delegated to somebody. So we have a process in place in the department that requires certain people to sign off. Unfortunately, those people were hectically busy, including the CEO. And as I just want to reiterate, she could only submit her thing this morning, but I think 6:15 or 6:03 to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. I've listened carefully to the explanation, and I think it's a valid explanation. My only concern would be then when you receive the invitation to appear before the portfolio committee, I think it would have been prudent upon the party then to inform our principals here and say to them that you're not able to be, ready in time for us to study these documents. I think in terms of time management, if you saw that your primary responsibility is the Auditor General, which I fully agree, then our department should have been informed that it's not possible to have these documents ready for us at time, then we could possibly have engaged another department. My only concern is, I'm not sure whether we will be able to do justice to the issues that are contained in a 50-page report if all of us are only seeing it now. Because I think then it will be a one-way engagement where we now see slides for the very first time. We're probably not able to do our own research or engagement. And I think it leaves us really at, disadvantaged. I fully understand your time management issues, but for me to walk into a meeting, having now only seen a document which is 50 pages, I'm not sure whether I'll do justice to the issues that are going to be raised.
Honourable Chair, thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I concur with the Honourable Sandermere, everything that she has said, because it is a problem on our side. Basically, it's not a problem on your side. If you communicated on time with us, we would have made arrangements. You would have paid even the coming to Cape Town. You would have paid the expenses of coming to Cape Town. You would have saved us time. We would have engaged another department to sit in the portfolio committee. So it was important on your side to think that it is not only you who's affected. It is the other parties. And I think the onus was on you to tell us. If you're not coming, you are not ready to present, we would have given you another slot. So I'm hoping next time you don't waste state resources, because, for us to sit here and call off this meeting, it's wasteful expenditure, but to the Auditor General, he's going to disqualify us, because we're not going to work, and you are the only department that was scheduled to present today. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I've seen the hand of Honourable Chabalay.
Thanks, Professor. I think there are lessons for both of us to learn on this issue. You cannot request this massive information and expect it to be compiled within 2 days. Of course, I agree with Honourable Falamadra that the department should have said that we are not going to meet the requirement of this, 48 hours prior to the meeting thing. But I didn't even ask when we request information, we need to give people enough time to prepare, knowing fully well that this is happening for the first time. It has never happened in the 10 years history that I've been in this parliament that people want to see reports of this nature that looks at companies that are benefiting women and doing business with government and all. It is for the very first time that, maybe it might have happened in other committees. And that to get this information, obviously, it's not the information that you can collect in 1 day. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have told us on time, but if we know how much it takes to compile this information, we wouldn't have given you the days to do that. And I think it's leaning point for both of us. We We need to give people ample time to make preparations so that we get quality information. Yeah, thank you. But at the same time, I'll say, why should we continue when we are seeing this document for the first time and this is new information? And I don't doubt the accuracy of the information, I mean, from my dealings with your Justice Department, we've always given us accurate information. But we need to apply our minds because there are other questions that we need to ask. There are issues of fronting on these things of businesses, where rent a woman kind of thing. How do we satisfy ourselves that there are no rent a female, rent a black lady, you know? And then how do we verify this thing? Maybe we need to come up with ways that if people say we are a company and we've got 7 women, can you bring those women as part of making a presentation to the municipality to say these are the ladies who are part of us and let's hear them, you know. I'm just saying that if you say you've got people who are disabled and they are the directors in the company, they mustn't only be there by name, but we need to see the physical learning show. Make sure that their names are not used to enrich other individuals, but that they actually benefit. And part of our oversight visit, because we're talking about people that are vulnerable, we may even say, Mama, we want to check, you know, your balance of payment since the beginning of this year. How much money was given to you? Because money can be transferred in the account, and then after 2 days, the money is withdrawn. You know, so we need to be able to do this, and we cannot, as I'm agreeing with Honorable Fundamental and other members who have spoken, that I don't think it will give us enough time to apply our minds to this. One other suggestion would be, you can make the presentation, go home, and still come back some other time to engage, so that we don't necessarily lose the day. We can, you know. But there will be a need for a follow-up meeting. So at least we do something with this, even if it's 1 hour of the presentation and then you go. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, all honorable members. This is the second time we meet with the Department on Rural Development. We have met with you in Pretoria on a straight plan. So, as members have said, we would like you to continue with the meeting. So, I would like to give the chance to the Department to make a presentation. And if needed be, on our next meeting, we will be able to engage with you on several issues. If some of the issues are left in this presentation, then we are going to continue, because as this particular committee, we would like, we have been saying, giving ourselves an opportunity to have a working relationship with all the departments. So for now, I would like to give the department an opportunity to do the presentation. Thank you. Before we do that, another one, final member.
I'm just seeking some clarity. Are we now going to allow the department to present to us and then we will engage with them at a later stage? Is that your proposal? I just want to be clear.
Yes. Over to you, the department.
Chairperson, members, thank you very much. As I said, I'm going to be flying solo for a while now. I don't know when the rest of the delegation will meet, but the presentation we've been requested, as I indicated earlier, and we have two presentations. One dealing with the procurement matter around gender, and I'll slot that in right at the end. Just in terms of the presentation and the format that you have, you've got basically an overview of the rural development and land department, and then you go into the request from the committees in terms of how women benefited from land reform. We go through the four programs that we have in the department. The first one is program one, which deals with administration. And that deals primarily, we'll go briefly into it, but that basically is the ministry, the DG's office, corporate services and finance. And that's affected mainly by the issue of employment equity in the workplace. And then the number four is basically there are two
examples as requested by the committee. I won't go into detail about those two examples. If you wish for me to go, then I'll take you through those two examples. And then the next part of the presentation deals with mainstream gender and designated persons matters in the department and the policy issues. And right after those examples that you have in the presentation, you also have the issue of the RETM. And I'll go into that briefly if the committee so requests. In terms of our strategic direction, I think it's familiar to everybody. We have vibrant, equitable, sustainable rural communities to initiate, facilitate, coordinate, catalyze, implement an integrated rural development program. And our strategy is the agrarian transformation model. The objectives of this agrarian transformation model, social mobilization, enable rural communities to take initiatives, basically sustainable settlements, establishment of co-ops, enterprises for economic activities, non-farm activities for strengthening of rural lives and skills development and employment creation. This is what we refer to commonly in the department, just the previous slide in graphic form, and it's referred to commonly as the wagon wheel. And at the bottom, if I take you through it, just quickly, phase one, phase two, phase three. Phase one is where we try and meet the basic human needs in a community. If we go into a community or into a rural area and try and assist, then phase two, we go in with enterprise development in terms of sustainability. And phase three is the agro-village industries critical city. Those three blocks right at the bottom, which are basically so we can measure the performance of the various programs in the department. The center of it is the whole agrarian transformation philosophy that we try and follow, and supported by what we call community, land, livestock, and cropping. We basically push in, and I'll talk to it a little bit later on, in the cropping area, the agri-park thing in the current financial year. In our State of the Nation address, I think we were thrown a little bit of a curveball. We focused in our planning in last year on 27 priority areas, and we were then told to extend it to 44 priority areas. And so the planning with regard to your agri-parks was a bit delayed, but we will be going into the 44 district municipal areas in the country and rolling out the agri-parks project probably from about next month or the month after. We don't talk much about it in the presentation, but one of the key deliverables within that is that the agri-parks need to provide opportunities to women and to young people in the rural areas. While that was our strategy, our implementation and the way we process what we do in terms of the program is to follow a virtuous cycle and take you quickly from it. From the left-hand side, we determine where we want to implement. So we've got the 44 areas. We've got a component, which is SPLOP. And if you follow the legislation, on the 1st of July, the President enacted that the SLUMA legislation becomes law and becomes effective in municipalities. And once the SLUMA people have done their work in terms of basically scope the areas for us and given us all the strategic information we need, we then go in terms of land reform and we determine what to buy. So we purchase quite a bit of land in the rural areas, but that's strategic land. So that's the land reform part of what we do. Then we go, once we acquire the land, we've got two other projects or programs that run, which is commonly referred to as RAID. RAID is our Rural Enterprise and Industry Development. And in red is your rural infrastructure development, where you'll see we build schools, we build roads, we build bridges. We go and put fences around properties. And then the enterprise is where we start rural enterprises in rural areas so that the communities can become sustainable. So that's basically the thing, how we do our work in the department. Our strategic objectives, I'm not going to go through at this particular stage because they're common and they are informed by the two previous slides. Our mandate was requested by the Commission, where we get our mandate in terms of what we do. The work that we do is underpinned by the Restitution of Land Rights Act, and in that piece of legislation, the Department ensures provision for the restitution of rights and land to persons or communities dispossessed of such rights after 19 June 1930. You will recall that in the first of July, the land claim process was reopened for a further period of 5 years. And as of yesterday, I've been informed we had over 70,000 land claims already since the 1st of July last year until now. Then we have land reform, provision of land and assistance act that requires that the department provides for the designation of personal land, the regulation of the subdivision of such land and the settlement of persons on it. In addition, it provides for the acquisition, maintenance, planning, development, improvement, disposal of property and the provision of financial assistance for land reform purposes. I think part of the enabling legislation that we've done now recently is the Office of the Valuer General, and that is that legislation was enacted and became effective on the 1st of August this year, which is due on Saturday last. So the office has been set up and started work yesterday and is located in the Rentmeester building in Pretoria. The Valuer General is Mr. Gafur, and he has assumed duty and started work as well. Then we have the Land Survey Act. The Act regulates the surveying of land in South Africa. The department is responsible for surveying land throughout the country. It's one of its major projects at this point, is to determine who owns what land in the country. And it's a multifaceted project that they're busy running. Then the Deeds Registries Act makes provision for the administration of the land registration systems and the registration of rights in land. These are all your deeds offices across the country. So when people, whoever purchases land, we are responsible for registering the title deeds of those properties in our deeds offices. The country has quite an extensive and quite a good and admired deeds registry system. One of the better ones across the world, actually. Mm-hmm. We're currently busy with wanting to what we call an e-cadastre project is to actually digitize the entire deed registration process. Currently, if you buy property in Cape Town or in Pretoria or in wherever Bishop, you have to go to that deeds office to actually lodge the title deeds. And that is why when people buy, if you give a power of attorney to an attorney, to a lawyer, so that person is located in that town to actually lodge your title deeds. But what we've done, what we're trying to do with the e-cadastre system is to enable people to be able to lodge anywhere in the country with that. Then we have Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act, is what I spoke about earlier on. That legislation became effective on the 1st of July of this year. It seeks to fix the racial divide in spatial terms and to enable transformation of the settlement patterns of the country in a manner that gives effect to the key constitutional provisions by the adoption of a new approach to spatial planning and land use management act. What we believe at this particular moment and such an important piece of legislation is to assist and empower our district municipalities to be able to do spatial planning quite differently from what was done in the past, which was done on a racial divide. Okay, our policies, we have quite a number of policies, but I'll go through the key ones. The Agricultural Landholding Policy Framework introduces upper and lower limits to agricultural landholding sizes and also promotes productive and sustainable use of land. We work very closely in terms of this with the Department of Agriculture so that we don't make any impact with regard to food security in the country. State Asset Lease and Disposal Policy creates a single system for state land lease and disposal, which promotes the development imperatives of government. Land tenure security policy for people working and living on commercial farms addresses scale insecurity of farm dwellers, farm workers, and their families. We have a high incidence of eviction of farm workers who've been on farms for quite a long time, and we have a top 3 number, and we actually provide support and assistance to persons who are being evicted from farms. The Rural Development Policy Framework aims to promote social and economic infrastructure, deploy resources of the AVMP, Liber Catalytic Enterprise Development and Industry Development Programs in rural areas. The Recapitalization and Development Program, commonly known as REHAP, aims to recapitalize farm projects that were challenged as a result of constrained beneficiary project support development and productivity. Policy on Rural Investment and Development Finance Facility to support smallholder farmers, communities on communal land and facilitate as well as incentivize the development initiatives in commercial farming areas. And then the policy on what is a RAID or Rural Enterprise and Industry Development seeks to draw from lessons from the Comprehensive Rural Development Program and other rural enterprises and industry development initiatives in order to develop a consolidated, coordinated and feasible government policy on industry and enterprise development in the rural areas in particular. And then I spoke earlier on about the reopening of land claims in the Commission of Restitution of Land Rights, which was opened in July last year and this will be running for another 5 years. Those are the key policy imperatives that underpin and underscore the work that we do in the department. I'm going into the programs now that the committee asked us just to let you know what the various programs are. So program one deals with administration. So in program one, you have the ministry, and so it's the administrative work of the minister, DG's office. We have the CFO, all your corporate functions are located in program one. So I won't go into detail with that. When we go to program two, you talk about geospatial and cadastral services. You connect that to the similar legislation that I spoke about and the Land Surveying Act that I spoke about. They located with the program too. And the provision of geospatial information in support of spatial equity and sustainable development. So your survey generals and everybody are located within this. Your town planners, your regional planners are located within this program. They provide technical support to municipalities through the development of spatial and development frameworks. And with the enactment of the latest legislation, this has become a critical function. There was on 1st of July, only one municipality was ready to implement the legislation in the country, and that was the city of Cape Town. And we're now supporting all the others. We've got a map. I didn't bring the map with, but across the country, we're finding people at various stages of readiness. And we want to get the target, that is the 1st of November, when every municipality across the country will be able to implement this Bloomer legislation. So we've got a team that's going to all the municipalities, our provincial offices, to make sure that that happens. We provide training to augment the scarce skills in geomatics. So we have a dedicated bursary program. We've got, I think, 62 people currently at various institutions across the country that are getting bursaries from us in terms of to study geomatics. We then provide them the go into land surveying across the country, so then we partner them up with private and public sector enterprises and we place them in municipalities for the practical experience once they've completed the theoretical training part. And then we have investment in the development of the e-cadastral system to indicate it, which enable a holistic view of land ownership. And so you'll find the Surveyor General's office and the Deeds office in due course will basically amalgamate and become one once the e-cadastral project is fully rolled out. Then in program three, you have rural development. The focus is on the provision of infrastructure to support access to basic services in order to promote rural livelihoods. So here we work very closely with your DAS, with your public works department, with your provincial administrations, your provincial governments across the country, and then with all the district municipalities. I think it's required in terms of moving away from a siloed approach of implementation when it comes to infrastructure to make sure that when we do put in place infrastructure that all spheres of government are working together. And so what you do, a good example would be the agri-parks where the policy and everything was determined and written from a national perspective, but part of implementation instruction from the presidency was and from national treasury that it is the local authorities and the provincial governments who become the drivers of the implementation. So we basically meet with them on a weekly basis now with regard to agri-parks in the district municipalities. They determine the sites where it must be implemented. We give the guidelines to determine this is what the guidelines need to use to identify the sites. And so as I speak to you now, we have 37 of the sites already identified across the country, and we're working with the remaining few to make sure that the remaining 7, I think, as of Friday of last week, will be identified by the end of this month. But it's not forcing a municipality to go into a certain place, but it's working with it. This, again, is, because we're talking about the whole issue of gender, must be the one of the key things that the Minister and the President have informed us in the duty. It must be in support of giving priority to women and to young people in the rural space. Then in terms of Program 3, we deal with the revival of the implementation of what we call the AVMP, the Animal Self-Management Program, and then the revitalization of irrigation schemes to enhance food production, and then the promotion of skills development and job creation advice to the youth. This is our NARISEC program, and then we also support rural enterprises development in the agricultural and non-agricultural value chain. We work very closely with, in terms of the last bullet, with your Agriculture Research Council and with the CNIR. In Program 4, we deal with restitution. The focus is on settlement of land claims and finalizing backlog claims, and contribute to the priority of sustainable land reform through restoration, declaration of land rights, and planning and administration of the reopening of institution lodgement process. It's a complex process that you embark upon when you deal with land claims. A lot of people think that you submit a claim and then we process and then it gets paid out, or you get the plot that you identified, the plan that you didn't get processed within a set period of time. The major part of and time is spent on actually researching the claim that the person has submitted, so that we are absolutely sure of the facts and that the claims can be processed fairly, reasonably and honestly. So what we've done in the department is we've actually brought in more research capacity by setting up partnerships with tertiary institutions so that we can fast track some of the research that needs to be done, especially with regard to the old claim. Then we have Program 5, which is land reform. Two components with this is your land redistribution and development, and then we have the land tenure and administration. In this program, we talk about the acquisition and allocation of strategically located land. Critical, because if you don't manage this and work with this properly, you put at risk the food security for the country. So we work very closely with other government departments when we talk about land acquisition and we talk about decapitalization, the development of state land. So the curative of Kenya Delta, the provision of support to emerging farmers through the recap and development program as I indicated, and provision of skills development training support for emerging farmers, and the creation of job opportunities in land reform projects. That is a very quick overview of the work that we do in the department. We have three links with public entities. We have the agricultural landholding, which is basically an account that is managed and overseen by the department. It's output for acquisition of strategically located land by agricultural productivity. The funds set aside. We've got a component that deals with it, and the work is governed basically by the legislation that enables the creation of the entity. Then we have the Environment Trust, or the ITP, KZN, established in terms of the provisions of the KwaZulu-Natal and Bunyama Trust Act. The core business is to manage land for the material benefit and social well-being of the individual members of the tribes within KZN. Our minister had oversight over that trust, and then there's the deeds trading account. So the deeds is basically, our deeds officers are basically entities that operate and need to fund themselves in terms of the legislation. So you have improved land administration through professional advisory services for efficient and effective surveillance registration of right and land, and expert at the registration of right and land for land reform and restitution as well. And that's the structure of our department. I think I've got it particularly displayed like that in terms of the various components. You have the minister, we have two deputy ministers, and then we have the ministerial, that's the highlighted sections that you have. The department, Dushabani is the director general of the department. He's got certain components in his office, strategic components located in his office that report directly to him. And then you have the various branches. We have, I think it's nine. You have the restitution branch, the land redistribution and development branch. I could go and give you, okay, the restitution branch is headed by Nomfundo Khabor, the land redistribution and development, and the Dr. Slot, the land tenure administration is Dr. Nathasbeek and Mahalema, as commonly known, referred to it, the Bronx Spatial Planning and land, actually no, land tenure administration is Sibuyi, the acting DDG of Postal Bacon. Spatial Plan Land Use Management is Dr. Mack. As I indicated, we commonly refer to her as Rural Enterprise and Development is Leona Archery. Rural Infrastructure Development, that's Leona Archery. Enterprise, also Leona Archery. D's registration is called Lee Finison. National Geomatics is Namuso Riva. Corporate Support Services is myself. And Branch Financial Services is Rendani Sadiki. We have an even split in terms of gender when it comes to and purpose for the details, so that we have a 50-50 split when it comes to DDGs at head office level.
something that the DG has insisted and the ministers insisted. Then we have provincial offices. I'm not going to go into detail with regard to provincial offices. In each of the provinces, we have an office that oversees all the work that we do. So your national office directs, determines policy, and then provides guidance. But we have a chief director in each office, and we have some offices in some districts. We have some offices in some districts, but they basically consist of all the components I've just listed. At head office is replicated at the provincial level. Employment equity targets, gender partners is fairly balanced in terms of gender in the middle and lower levels. Gender representation, senior management of 59%, now we're talking levels 13, 14, 15 and 16, is 59% males and 41% females. We have 9% that needs to be addressed in order to reach the 50% women representation at senior management level. And all branches have been told that the vacancies at the S&S level 13 and 14, a concerted effort needs to be made to recruit females in those posts. We are committed to achieving equitable representation of women at senior management and preference is given to suitably qualified women in the filling of senior management positions. This is the table that gives you the indication. Right at the bottom, you'll see the gaps when it comes to the salary levels with regard to the SMS component in the departments. We are oversubscribed when it comes to African males by 2.7%. When it comes to coloured males, we are short at 1.6%. Indian, we're over when it comes to males at 2.1%. And also when it comes to white males, we are over. The shortage in terms of African females is 6.9%. And when it comes to coloured females, it's 3% shortage, overrepresentation of Indian females and of white females in the department. That's it, and as I indicated, the gender split. But that's got to do with management. Our persons with disabilities, the disability policy of the department is aligned to support the creation of a user-friendly environment for people with disabilities. We are experiencing quite a number of problems with landlords and the public work departments, which we're engaging in terms of making our buildings disability friendly. And so that's a constant battle. But we do have a dedicated team and that deals with that to make sure that we support persons with disabilities and provide them with the necessary tools and care so that they can function within our workspace. Disability Forum, the forum meets regularly and the project and is currently being implemented to fast-track the recruitment of people with disabilities in order to achieve a set target. We're currently, I think, at 1.7% persons with disabilities. The department's target that is set itself in the strategic plan is 2.5% of persons with disabilities. And this is basically the gender background and salary levels on which we have persons with disabilities in the department. Okay, I have spoken there. I was correct, it's 1.7%. So I'm going to go to the next slide. We have a directorate for women, children, and persons with disabilities. It is a location in the district where we provide info in the Office of Director General, and it falls under the Chief Director Policy Development. Each provincial office also has a deputy director post allocated towards women, children, and persons with disabilities and to deal with those issues in every province that we have. The movement of the director to the policy unit is in order to ensure that when we develop all our policies, when we develop all our strategies, that we do the mainstreaming of women, children, and persons with disabilities in everything that we do. Okay. Chairperson, can I have a water quickly? Thank you, Jefferson. Just in terms of the next couple of slides, the overview of the department's program with regard for work with regard to women. In terms of our RIDS program, Rural Infrastructure Development, and in terms of RAID as well, with the support of Rural Arts and Craft Operators, we participate in various exhibitions and markets in which we give a slant to all the enterprises, but in particular
we try and promote the women that need to participate. And when we did do this, we had 930 women participating in the various exhibitions and markets. The Chain of Arts and Crafts Cooperatives is the issue of governance. We have a retail shop open for Art and Crafts Club in Durban, which is headed by a female. Art and Crafts Club currently process establishing the cooperative banks. Support to various women owned managed rural enterprises in the agriculture and non-agricultural value chain in all 9 provinces towards sustainable enterprise development and participation in the rural economy. The Abakazi, the Sindhu Agricultural Co-op in the Eastern Cape, okay, is primarily geared in terms of women. The Women in Poultry and Multipurpose Cooperative in the Free State, Women in Poultry Cooperative in Tembelani Bakery and Quantic Crop Production Cooperative in Gauteng, and the Remax Creations Slum Co-op and the Mutu Essential Oils Co-op in Limpopo, the Women and Youth Vegetable Fruit and Crop Production Cooperative in Mpumalanga, then we have the Ria Roca Sewing Co-op in Northern Cape, and the Bonello Tailing and Fashion Design Co-op in the Northwest are all women-owned managed rural enterprises that are supported by the departments. Then in terms of infrastructure development, the program deals with the provision of water, sanitation, housing, energy to rural households, the provision of bridges and roads, as indicated, ensures that women from surrounding villages have improved access and safety and dignity, and training in ICT at schools and community level, giving the opportunity to young people and to women in particular. Animal health management program is several projects implemented for soil rehabilitation and debushing to improve land for production with a directive that they employ women primarily where this work is being allocated. Then we have the National Ruth and Narise program. We recruited for 2 year period and undergo various training. We do this in partnership with the South African National Defence Force and with a number of MEP colleges across the country. The principal approach is to ensure that we always have 50-50% intake of persons, 50% female, 50% male. Several young women have also been part of the international exchange program with China that we have going in this regard. When we talk about land acquisition and allocation by gender, the highlighted columns are the ones that we put in with regard to for the purposes of this committee, and we broke it down in the provinces as well. In terms of the Eastern Cape, we had 800, and I could go through all this, but maybe what I should do is that the total with regard to the redistribution of the land that we provide of the beneficiaries, female have been 50,882 of the total beneficiaries in terms of household, in terms of youth, 33,000, and persons with disabilities, 678 in terms of the hectares that have been acquired. Then when we talk about land acquisition and allocation by gender, if I continue with the redistribution statistics, that was, okay, we go to the total again. In terms of the allocation of the farmers, 8,297 were allocated to females. Youth was 6,149, disabled persons 49. In summary, overall progress regarding the redistribution of white-owned agricultural land in South Africa, 82 million hectares from 1994 to March 2015, 4.5 million hectares have been delivered. So land distribution through 5,184 projects benefiting 235,000 beneficiaries, of which 21% were women, 33,000 were youth, and 678 were people with disabilities. Comparatively, from 2009 to March 2015, there were 1.4 million hectares under landed through 1,467 projects. This is the last 6 years, basically, benefiting 20,000 beneficiaries, of which 41% are women. So a more concerted effort in bringing women into the fold in the work that we do. The graph suggests that there is 50% improvement in benefiting women under the program in the form of youth groups, individuals, and black emerging farmers obtaining grants as well as land acquired under the leasehold that we do. Then in terms of restitution land delivered by gender, this is the land claims that have been submitted. Female-headed households, we had 138 households that benefited in terms of land claim process. And so you can see the total land claims that were settled was 77,600, and in the hectares that were affected by this were 3 million hectares of land. 371,000 households, and of those 371,000 households, 138,000 of them were headed by females. That is 37.3% headed by females. The table that draws from the data of the September indicates the following: that 77,610 claims were settled. It involved 3 million hectares of land. The third involved a total of 371,140 households, of which 138,000 were headed by females. The recap and development project by gender. This is where we acquire land, we allocate the land, and then we recapitalize the land by providing support to the persons that we've put onto the land. Again, we had 1,496 projects from 2009 to 2015. The women employed in total were 2,523, and we've also trained 1,207 female farmers out of a total of 2,202 female farmers that are trained. Just in terms of summary of the recap, the key strategic objective is to provide the comprehensive farm, as I indicated, development support to smallholder farmers and land reform. There are 1,496 farms under the program in terms of the 5-year funding model, and it constitutes 1.4 million hectares under the program. I'll go to number 4 year. Expenditure of 3.3 billion for recap and development incurred from 2009 to March 2015. Currently, 651 strategic partnerships secured to provide technical, financial, and infrastructure support to the farmers on our recap farms. And the support varies from inputs, infrastructure, machinery, and the implements that are required to do the farming. 46% of the jobs that were created are women who received different kinds of jobs. And of the farmers that are trained, the 2,202, 1,200 of them are female farmers that have been trained by the department. Then, an approach towards mainstreaming gender and designated persons in the department. I'm not going to go through this. This basically is the constitutional context. This is we added, members, we've added this just in terms to show that this is where we've located the gender mainstream in terms of what we do in the department. And you'll see we'll go on with the next slide, slide 37. I think we all are familiar with the contents of the constitution. It goes to 38, it goes to 39, and it goes to number on page 40. When we talk about the principle of the Green Paper of Land Reform, the 2011 Green Paper commits to three fundamental principles for the review of land: deracializing the rural economy, democratic land allocation, and sustainable production, discipline for food security. So what we've done is we've looked at that, and then I go to point 5 of this particular slide, and this is basically the triple challenge of high levels of inequality, unemployment, and poverty are central to the problem that we address. And then you look at rural communities, and you'll see that poverty is most pronounced amongst your rural population, amongst children, amongst women, amongst youth, and then the poorly educated, 5 categories that were there. Those are the groups that we focus on when we roll out our programs in the rural space. So our approach then is take cognizance of the constitutional protection of women and other designated persons that tend to be the burden of women as is based on prevailing and present community social norms. We mobilize women and other designated persons to inform rural development and land reform policy developments, ensures that partake actively in structures and created by policy and legislation that are aimed at guiding and administering the policies and programs of rural development and land reform. These include where the Council of Stakeholders for Rural Development, the Land Rights Management Committees, as now called the Land Reform Rights Management Committees in all the district municipalities, which have been established locally to address tenure security challenges in commercial farming areas and find lasting social solutions to this problem. And then these committees are established in terms of the entity and aimed at redistributing 20% of all farmland in every of our 44 municipal districts. The Women in Agriculture and Agrarian Transformation as a basis for broader development. We'll see that the 2013 statistics essay report in South African households in agriculture presents, among others, the following showing statistics. When we look at the provinces, male-headed households, we have 61,393 in the Western Cape, female, 23,000. But when you go to the Eastern Cape, you find that there are 271,000 male-headed households, while in there are 325,000 female-headed households in the Eastern Cape. Similar when you go to KZN, there are more female-headed households than what there are male-headed households. And then in Mpumalanga, you have relatively close to the number of male-headed households, 117,000. And in Limpopo, again, there are more female-headed households than what there are male-headed households. And so the dynamic in terms of what the work that we have to do, you'll see in those provinces is skewed in terms of the female-headed households. All policies that we reviewed and legislation will impact directly on women in the department. As indicated, the principle of the 2011 Green Paper on Land Reform, amongst others, calls for democratic land allocation across race, class, and gender. The policies that will be highlighted, and I'm asking that we don't go into it, is the rural economy transformation model, the regulation of land holdings policy, the land tenure security policy for commercial farm areas, and the communal land tenure policy. We can go into that into detail, but I think what I'm requesting is that I forward the summary document to members of the Kazaki with regard to all those four policy documents. We do quite a good executive summary, and then there's a detailed document that goes with it that informs you with regard to the content, the philosophy, and the implementation plans around each of those policies that have been developed in the department. And then we go into the case studies as was requested by the committee. I'm not going to go into detail with the case studies unless the committee wishes that I do so. There are two. We profile the case of Hans Boerstander, and then we profile the case of the Plot 254, which is in the Francis Barth District Municipality. And I think that's the Northern Cape. And then the last few slides, Chairperson and members, deals with the rural economy transformation model, which we basically follow in the implementation of our programs and policies in the department. The other presentation deals with, I'm sure that it's on the funds deals, you requested information on the contracts awarded. If I can just briefly go through that. That I think is just three slides. It just highlights, gives you examples. We didn't have much time reporting the contracts awarded to entities where women are either members or directors, and the information regarding women membership that we had to basically go through what used to be known as FICO to validate the information that we have. We'd have loved a bit more time because we could get more information in this regard. But since 1 April 2015 to 31 July 2015, I think five contracts were issued in total. To women headed companies or where the majority of the directors are female. The third one being the construction of apartments and housing complexes in District 6, a company called Sikile Construction. A contract of 167 million rand was allocated to that particular company. Then we have Vendor Standard Cleaning and Hygiene Services, that's the Mpumalanga Province, Office of the Surveyor General, a contract of 906,000 to a 100% owned female company. Then to a 60% owned female company, Styling Mine Trading 676,000. I'm not so sure why they didn't indicate what the business is, but we can provide that information. And then number four is the Resident of Cleaning and Hygiene Services at the Batanta Deeds Registry for a period of 24 months. 100% owned female company, June Bug Trading for 426,000, and then for rendering standard clean and gentle for the Regional Land Bank Commission Office in Northern Cape, in Kimberley for 24 months, to KSUN Moss, 100% owned female company, 699,000. Those were contracts awarded with a majority of ownership is in the hands of females. For the period 1 April to 31st July of the current financial year. Chairperson, in a nutshell, presentation.
Thanks to the department. As we have agreed that we are going to meet with the department, so the suggestion is that we are going to meet with you on the 11th of August so that we can be able to engage with the presentation. But if there is any member wants to raise anything, Honorable Tabeling.
Yes, sir. And thanks for the presentation, Zelenda team. It is a very good presentation indeed, but to some extent it doesn't answer all our questions. I thought that the purpose is to check, to actually, for us to be able to make a meaningful intervention, we need to have information that tells us how much did the government issue on contracts, this amount of money. If it's 100 million, it's 100 million. And out of this 100 million, how many of the contracts issued to women? I mean, you know, how much did the women get of that 100 million rand? So that we can be able to say, yes, this department, it is actually empowering women. But for now, if you give us a list of names as well, these are the ones, these are the amounts, but out of what? So that we can be able to make a meaningful intervention and even compare with other departments, you know, and programs. I'm not saying that you should give us a list of all companies that are doing business with the department, but we're only interested in those where women, they don't even have to be 100%, but I think we'll say there's about 50 or 40% representation of women, because then if you leave it at 100, it will mean either that we have left other companies out, or we only have this few because they are 100%. And even the value of the contract, if you look at the contract here, most of the, majority of, except only one that is constructed, you know. The rest is creditors, you know, cleaning, cooking. Yeah, I'm just saying that at a conventional, people will think, okay, there are men who own cleaning companies, but, you know, from our past, cleaning has been a women's domain, and we want to break from that norm, to say women can actually do better things even apart from cleaning and other groups. But at the same time, what is it that we are doing to encourage women companies to bid for certain jobs? Because you can actually say that we are leaving this, let's say we are ring-fencing, for argument's sake, 50 million rand for young women, you know, which means we are actually taking an initiative and engaging them to come. We are not saying that there are opportunities, but we say, these are opportunities, but if you want to play with us, these are the rules, this is the entry, and these are the exit doors. Just saying that maybe if we do that, then maybe a comparison also, because it gives the wrong impression that over these years we only worked with these 3 or 4 companies, which is not necessarily true. Thanks. I'm just saying that I'm not trying to debate this, but I'm saying when you make your further presentation, add to those, give us more detail.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Seke. I'm not going to interact with the presentation, but just to make a comment in terms of what Honourable Nchabe was saying, to say most of the information that is provided here, you know, plus or minus 10 pages or 15 pages is dealing with the overall or the mandate of the department, the roles and the responsibilities. And when you look towards the end of the presentation, most of the pages too is dealing about the constitution, which is, you have to educate us, you have to interact with that, but we need the actual work that the department is doing. What is it, the impact that you are doing to the community? Because we as members of parliament, we are accountable to the communities out there, and we are appropriating money to your department. We want to see the actual work that you are doing. The roles and responsibilities we understand, but going forward, in the next meeting, just we want to meet in the department, in the presentation. I think you can interact with the committee secretary maybe during the course of this week and send the detailed presentation. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. No, I'm covered because otherwise we'll be tempted to discuss the presentation, why we resolve that department will present then, and also Mr. Southgate indicated that he didn't have enough time to provide the detailed report, but I think from today up to the 11th, as I've indicated, they will have enough time just to look or to consider input by members and try to beef up where they are at, so that when they come back on the 11th, then we'll be able to engage properly with the judgment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. What I wanted to say was, in the presentation, most of the things that we wanted, which we said you should present, are here. And it is unfortunate that the information came late, but you must expect a load of grilling. I mean, there are empty spaces that I see in your presentation, so I think you must go and fill them up, even if you did it quickly, so you have enough time to fill them in. I think you must educate us as the women's portfolio in details on how will women benefit, even those, because your agri parts are your initiatives. You can't give them to municipalities to run. I mean, people who never initiated an idea, it's not easy for them to implement. So you must give us clear responsibilities, how you want to ensure that they implement on time, they implement what you want them to, what your clear mandate. I mean, if you say it's women and youth, how are we going to do it, so that we understand that you're not only a bystander there while they implement. What will be your role? Will it be project managing the project? Because you can't come with a project and give it to somebody with no clear project management timelines. For you to ensure that when the president speaks about it, he knows what he's talking about. It's not left to a council that is failing to even implement its own program. I mean, how will they implement your program? So it must be clear to me that when the president speaks, he speaks on behalf of your department and you and portfolio of women is doing monitoring on that particular project. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone, especially the two DGs that grace us with their presence today. Deputy Director Generals, I can't promote you. Chair, I'm sure as a veteran in the disability sector yourself, and a leader, you probably are a bit worried for when the department on page 41 talks about the approach towards mainstreaming gender designated persons. They identify, I think, five key components of poverty that are most pronounced, and they omit a disability, you know. Clearly, all studies have confirmed that proportionally disabled people are most poor, are poor. And in making these kinds of omission allows that disability, like in everyday life, I mean, it's a historical development challenge, that disability always falls through the cracks. And here the department is opening up a big crack, and it will allow disability to fall through. So I just want to point that one out, that those things cannot allow that to happen again. I know in poverty, poor people are less concerned about disabled people, because their challenge is putting food on the table. In situations of war, people are not concerned about disabled people, because they are concerned about themselves, saving themselves, you see. And I'm saying we have a war on poverty, but certainly we are not in a different kind of war. And we, as the protector of all people, the key driver of development, the department must pay more attention to the disabled. In actual fact, will be contradicting themselves on the one hand, looking at the equity target, the fact that they indeed try to integrate disability in all the programs, but making a mistake like this, DDG, is something that they certainly cannot allow to happen. Thank you.
Honorable
Kaula, thank you, Honorable Madela. And Gibongas, Salo. Yeah, it is Kuma Gaula, Iba Legi, Legodwa, Maupela, and Jesuato, Sikutu, Suk. Umbuzo, Njokala, Landi, Okutubabu, Ebaskin, Tudom, Kaga, Levin. Mayla, Nalabantu, Abasebenzi, Mayin, Manga, Bushin, Rindo, Tudba, Bayaz, and Tukwantu, Esfaz, and Basakubu, Bezaz, and to shenelo into that is seven years and years. To let you mine is Labaki and Kuluma Kona we match Abaning and Abapume last Friday. O Munyumbuzo Wami Kunem Saba Oitola Ilele, Kota Umaspala by Nira India El Lodo, and you should be at once. Like a general said, Kevin, Mr. Singh, Umshaba Jolene, Wong Wam. Oh, mama, benzi ingadi. Oh, mama, bana mabusiness. Ngabe bayakwazi. Kono mama, nabakwazi. Ukhanda nje imoto. Abakwazi ukuthola umhlaba lapha ngoba uthola ukuthi lo mhlaba wonke under umasipala waseDurban ubiza lo Singh. Enye impendulo endiye ifuna ngani la ngaze ngibuye. Bese ngibuyela kule yenu ingonyama trust. Ngiyocela impendulo, ngiyicela zonke namhlanje izimpendulo ngoba langempela kumnandi kabi ukuthi sikhulume ngoba simele abantu bakithi. Le nto engonyama trust singajabula ukuthi ngokulandelayo futhi then kubuye nisichazele ukuthi ingonyama trust ini kanjani ingaphambi kwa-government noma ikwi-group yabantu abathile. Why ngisho njalo na? Ingoba kunabantu la othola ukuthi abantu bahlangene mhlawumbe omama bazakhela baze bayibiyela kanzima le ndawo yabo ngemali zabo. Thola ukuthi kuqhamuka abantu abathize bathi lo mhlaba ungowabo mabakhokhe imali ingonyama trust. Lakhe mhlawumbe niyakhumbula nje lanathina eThekwini uMashu nomlashi kuthiwa u-under ingonyama trust. Kodwa kuyimanje sibona o-profile bona badudula abasebenzi bahlala basikwizeka abanake beney'tola sakwazi kwenza lutho ingonyama lobo group five bona ba-onalo wamhlaba. Bese ngibuyela kuleyo abakhubazekile leyabakhubazekile eyi bakithi iyangithinta ngikhuluma ngala nto okuthiwa ama-disable laba bantu babantu. Angikhumbuli ukuthi njengoba ekhubazekile yini wena ongakhubazekile oyibona ungcono ngayo. Ngibabona mina bengabheleleki instead of that kuthiwa kubona nabo nani nefana nelungelo ningavula amabhizinisi. And not less wa 22 kunomunye ubhuti okhubazekile wenza into ongaze akabone emehlweni kodwa wacabanga waqoqa omama lapha ney'ngane ekhubazekile. Isakhiwo salakhayana ungasibona si-50-50 kwashabelungu. Ngaphakathi akukho ngisho into yokudla. Uyabona ama-toilet akhona akaze axhaswe kake ayikucela usizwa. Lo muntu uhlangene kule nto ungwesilisa uhlangene nomama abakhenge nabo le-NPO akatholi ixhaswa. Anganoma manje ngoba isiqaliso sakhe ngoba ekhwazekile. Then ithi le nto yokuthi umuntu uma ekhwazekile kuthukalisiwe kwakuyinkolelo ze yakudala. Le singajabula nathi siyo mzimba. Kephelele le nto abakhwazekile ngoba uma babheka ngisho indawo abahlalisa kuzona. Bahlaliswa endaweni obona ukuthi lo muntu emuza umnikeza wona. Akakwazi ukuthi akhuphuke ngeshele yakhe ayodlala. Bahlala emqashweni. Abanazindlu bayaletha imvula njengoba ngisehlobo kufanele akhala ngabo ngifuna kuleli komiti ukuthi kuyimanje bahlala amanzi nabakwazi ukumuva kuwona. Akasinibone bataka ukuthi nikhuluma into leseniyazi okugcina ngqi. Mina-ke ngizocela-ke nje manje nisiphe sengaloni sitshela amabikazi nalabo bantu abasiza abantu basemakhaya ngokwemhlaba ukuthi babuyisele imhlaba nokuthi uma befuna ukuyithuthukisa ukuze nabo baphile. Niyayazi kanti indalo ukuthi inkinga abantu besifazane imost abagcwele la e-South Africa abanamadoda bazimele baphila ngempesheni. bakhona phela abasizi mina nje la as simama sibongile kawo ngicela ukuphuma namafoni awo namacontact abo hayi ukuthi kube mnandi kukhulunywe la mase uyamfonela umuntu akahlabe isport sesepretoria khona babethi baba ne-poverty asenze kumase ukuthi abafonela abantu abasakwazi ukusiza besithembile abantu ngokubalimisa emakhaya ikhona imihlaba emakhaya abantu bafuna ukufuya nibuye nisichazela ngalezinkomo nalezi imbuzi ukuthi nizobahliza njani abantu abaze basuka bayoyithenga kude niyazi abantu abamyama bakholelwa emasikweni abo ngiyaxela dakwethu singalo sizodlala la and ma ngiphindala ndaba yasemakhaya ngiyokhombisa mnitho lenokhala la abanye baze bagcina belimele izitho zabo zangasese ngakho njalo kunganakekelwa bakhubazekile abanakiwe emakhaya abantu abakhubazekileokyyabona
empeleni uma bevumelene ukuthi sizoyibuza yonke lembuzo ngesondelayo. Okay. No,
in short, she said that serious issues are being discussed here, but she feels like this is a time-wasting exercise. And then she said that on the 11th, when the department returns, she has certain answers that she wants to return with. She started off by speaking about the families that are living in mines. You find that the husband has been working in the mine for a very, very long time. When the husband passes away, the family is evicted from the mine. Just last Friday, there was certain families that were evicted because the husband is no longer working there. The husband has passed away. And then she spoke about bare land back home in KwaZulu-Natal. She said that sometimes you find that there's land that is sitting and doing nothing, but then you find that a certain individual, she spoke about Mr. Singh, he owns all that land. Then you find that women need land to plow and to engage in agricultural activities, but they cannot access this land because it belongs to one individual. Then she also got into the Ingonyama Trust. She emphasized that we are, as members of parliament, they are here to represent people. So it's important to ask relevant questions. Then she asked how this Ingonyama Trust Board is constituted. How is it made up? Is it under government? Is it under certain individuals? Because sometimes you find that people from Guamashu and Numlas, they were told that before, previously, the land was under Ingonyama Trust Board. But now you find the companies like Group 5 are dominating the land. They're taking over, they're building, they're pushing people away from the land. But initially, it was said that this land belongs to Ingonyama Trust Board, but now you find that companies like Group 5 are the ones who have authority over this land. Then she also touched upon people with living with disabilities. She said this is a very, very close to her heart, and she makes her very, very emotional. She referred to a gentleman who is living with a disability in the Northwest, who is blind. He started a project whereby he involved women in the building, but the problem is now he's not getting any sponsorship. It is filthy, the toilets are not in a good condition. She also expressed that previously she said that if you are living with a disability, you are cursed. She's now starting to believe that this is true because people with disabilities are not well looked after. They don't have rights, they don't have access. She also emphasized on her arrival in the committee, she spoke about a couple of disabled people living with disability that she knows who are unable to move. They are living in water. They are living with water. She also spoke about figures. She says, don't just come with figures. Come with something tangible, something that can be seen. She also touched that most women have lost their husband. They need assistance. She also emphasized that before you leave, you must give her, or she's requesting that you must give her contact details. Then she said that she emphasized that there is land in KwaZulu-Natal. People must be taught goat farming and breeding and cows. People are leaving areas and going far to buy these animals when they can be done locally. So she also emphasized that she can show you photos that can make you shocked or can make you cry because people with disabilities are not well looked after. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Kaula. Okay, Honorable Chairman.
We've got people that will support service to these two committees, and that when the committee on minerals or whatever or labor comes, you will ask those questions related to to mine workers and their benefits and landlessness, it doesn't necessarily belong here, so that they can capture it and refer them to other committees. But my suggestion again is that you as the committee, you need to go and visit the Ngonyama Trust. Talk to them. Don't talk to them through us. Talk to them. Ask them what they are doing. We as the Committee on Rural Development, we actually value what the Ngonyama Trust is doing. They are doing a very important work. They are the only people in this country, an entity that has gone out of its way to trace every piece of land and who owns it. You cannot do that anywhere in this in South Africa except in KwaZulu-Natal. It's only Ngonyama Trust that has that day. But I think we need to find a way of how do we duplicate Ngonyama Trust throughout, or maybe the facility that they are doing, you know, that it will be done by other people so that we can actually know this land started to be a Trebekulu, Yaba, Yaka Fander, and it became Sing's land and Sing started to Skosana, and now it is now with the government. You know?
Yeah, so
they are very poor. Yes, no, they only have a small plot. They don't qualify. But I'm just saying that you need to go, there's a committee, never engage, and ask them those questions, you know, Mom Cow. They need to answer. On all these things, I was able to know from this and I want to school, how many girls are they sending to school, you know, and how many children with disabilities are being awarded those bursaries, and how many people with disabilities were in the Ngonyama Trust offices, and how many women work there. I know, just of some 2 weeks ago, the CEO of Ngonyama Trust is a woman. She's not a man, you know, so which is for us a very positive thing. It's not easy to get a woman being the CEO of an organization that is run by traditional authorities. In their nature, women play a secondary role, but with the laws in the country, they're forced. You know, you cannot discriminate against women, and then when you're trust has shown a will to abide by the laws, and appreciate that women have a role to play. There is something on your slides where you talked about, I'm not actually engaged in the discussion, but you talked about qualified, suitably qualified women, you know. And for me, the word suitably qualified is pregnant with me, because you don't say it when you talk about other managers, that suitably qualified men. But when it comes to women, it's suitably qualified women. I'm just saying that we need to look into that. And even with people with disabilities, who say suitably qualified people. So if you are not disabled, then if you are not a woman, you don't have to be suitably qualified. You can belong. No wonder some of our programs are not working properly, because we get people who are not suitably qualified. And we hope that women who are suitably qualified in our departments will do better, and so are that everybody has to be suitably qualified. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I fully agree with Honorable Chabeling. This exercise is for the committee to get information from the department, so that it will help us when we are doing oversight on the information that we are being told by the department. So now I'm going to give Honorable Father Mewe, and after that, to close the meeting. Honorable Van der Merwe, we are not discussing the presentation, so I'm not allowing anyone now, because what you have been giving the department is enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not going to, as I said, I'm not going to engage the presentation. We'll do that at a later stage. But also just to say, I think it comes from this portfolio committee, I think one of the issues that we keep on raising is this issue of people with disabilities. And people with disabilities program, the program pertaining to people with disabilities now resides with social development. And I think this as a something that we can part as a committee, I think we need to actively engage social development on what they are doing in terms of empowering people with disabilities.
I read an article just recently which again stated about 400,000 children with disabilities are not accessing education. And when you do your oversight, you see it for yourself. So I think it's something that we're all passionate about. And also I want to ask this department, you say that you've got 1.7% of people with disabilities employed, and you talk about project plan that you've got, which you're implementing. I want to know more about this plan when you come back to us. Because quite frankly, I see this 2% target as something which departments across the board aspire not to reach. I mean, everybody either got 1.2 or 1.7. And for me, it doesn't make sense why we can't find people with disabilities that are suitably qualified to work in our departments. 2% is already so low. Why is it a benchmark if we keep on failing to reach? So just to ask for that information, for details of that plan when you come back. Because I think often we also, you know, we also not doing justice to these issues when we say, okay, there's a plan, but what is the plan? So we can have more information on that. And then just also today, I think also being more Namakas is probably one of the only bodies that I've done some research in, because also of the work that I do with my political party. I think it's an organization that actively tries to empower women. And I think they do actually do good work. So I just wanted to echo the sentiments of my previous colleagues. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much to the department. Please, very much.
Okay. Ekugcineni bahambe bayovala ngeminyango bethi abakhoga abantu.
Okay ma, sizo engage nayo iNgonyama Trust. Njengoba sithola le information, we are going to do. No, we are dealing with the rural development ma. So next time we are going to deal with the entities.
Yeah,
where we find it.
We need to find out where that thing that owns all the land is my chief up. I think that's also an important question. Yeah, because then I'm not land to
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, the department. Maybe next time you can also give us the challenges. As you have been giving us the achievements that you have achieved as a department, we would also like you to give us the challenges that we are facing as a department with regards to the empowerment of women, and also with regards to the issues that you have been asked to do. Thank you to the department, and thank you, honorable members. I think we'll go to it on the 11th of August. We are going to keep these presentations, and we'll come back a bit to the meeting. Thanks so much. The meeting is adjourned. Oh, sorry. Sorry, we are having two sets of minutes. And thank you to the World Development Portfolio Committee. We are very thankful to Chairperson. Thank you so much for to being with us. Therefore, I'll release the guests, and the honorable members of the women must remain behind. Thank you.